looking into the things of the church at Sardis. And the shining forth of this lampstand, we're going to bring you into the heavenly aspect of it now. So that's what I love about the Word of God. Let's go to Zechariah 4, chapter 4. We're going to see into the heavenlies. Zechariah 4 and the lampstand is, we're going to look at the church from God's standpoint. The Old Testament is a picture book of the New. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is waking out of his sleep. And he said unto me, "What seest thou?" God always asks questions that no man can answer, you know, but he asks anyway. "What seest thou?" And I said, and I looked, and behold, a candlestick. Isn't that something? Lampstand in everybody else's translation. Because that's really what it is. And what is the characteristic of this lampstand? It's all gold. The ministrations of the lampstand, the sevenfold shining forth of God in his church, is pure. It has no bias. It's free from denominational leanings. It's free from doctrinal things. It's the ministration of God himself. Jesus said, "I don't have my own doctrine." Who are we to have our own? If he isn't, who are we? And then Jesus defined what the true doctrine is. "My doctrine is to do the will of my Father." Isn't that good? I just go, you know, this whole theological thing is pretty simple. Ministry, that which I've seen and heard. I'm not responsible for what someone else sees. I'm responsible for what I see. And let that be your freedom. Let that be the flow of all that God is in you. You're only responsible for what you see. And he sees this lampstand, all of gold, but here's a new one, with a bowl on top. Oh, wait a minute now. That isn't in the tabernacle. But you see, all truth is progressive. God shows you a bit, and you see it, and then all of a sudden, he enlarges it. He's ever enlarging. The ages to come, Christ will become more to you than he is now. Eternity. Eternity can't unveil all that is in Christ, in God. We're going to be blown away for eternity of the glory and the manifestations of God's wisdom in Christ. So now we see a bowl on top. Still seven lamps. Seven pipes. Wow, this is getting intense. So we got this bowl with seven pipes going into the seven lamps. What do the lamps burn on? In the tabernacle, what kept the fire alive? Yeah, the olive oil. What does that symbolize? The Holy Spirit. So this perpetual shining forth of the lampstand was assured. See, in the Old Testament, in the ministry of the tabernacle, it was the priest's responsibility to keep the lamps trimmed. They have to cut away. God will come and cut away things from your life because they burn. And, you know, we have battery-operated candles now, but back in those days, the wick was special. And if you want to know the real truth of the thing, you and I are the wick. We're just this feeble little wick that its call is to abide in the oil. And the fire of God burns. So when Moses sees, he's out in the wilderness and he turns aside and he sees this bush burning. And yet he looks and it says, the bush is not consumed. I haven't seen this before. And God's going, that's what my ministry looks like. This feeble little wick burning with the intensity of the fire of God. And it can only maintain its burning if it abides in the oil of God. Isn't that, I mean, I just love it. I just love all the pictures. So there's your call. Your call is to abide in Christ, the anointed one. And who is the flame? God is a consuming fire. And any life that has been truly touched by God knows what this fire is. If there is no fire, you better seek him who is the fire. And that's your ministry. I mean, it's so simple and yet so necessary and vital to the health and the welfare of the body of Christ. But this aspect of the bowl, the seven pipes going into each lamp, realize that each one of these lamps has an individual, personal connection with the living Christ. That's you. You are a lamp. What did Jesus say? You are the light of the world. How does that light shine forth? By you maintaining your relationship in Christ. Nobody can do that for you. That's where teaching ends. Teaching ends at your responsibility. What did Jesus say? Except a branch abide in the vine, it can't bear fruit. It can't maintain the fire of God. So that was the priest's responsibility, was to trim the wicks and to keep the oil of God in the lamps. But here, we're seeing it from God's standpoint. We're seeing the true representation of the shining forth of the lamps within the with the ministrations of the Spirit of God in the local church through the oil flowing through the golden pipes. I like that. Everything's gold. Everything's pure. You gotta see that purity is the foundation from which all things flow in God. So these lampstands, now we see a bowl. And now he brings more into this picture. Like, he's not finished. He's just getting started here. And his seven lamps, I like the word his. His speaks of Christ. They're his. These seven lamps are his. If the church understood the true meaning of the word redemption, Paul says we are no longer ours. We've been bought. Your ministry is not, I mean, that bugs me when men say, well, this is my ministry. And you're going, no, no, no. You don't have a ministry. Your ministration is in Christ. God only has one ministry. His name is Jesus. And as you abide in him, you partake of his anointing. God's expression in your life and mine is his expression. And the further we come into submission to him, the freer he is to express his authority, his light, and his glory. And we haven't touched. You just look at Elijah the prophet, and God said, the reason I took the Old Testament away is it didn't produce the thing I'm after. So don't look at some famous teacher today, some famous guy today, and think, well, that's what ministry is. Lift your eyes up to see how Christ walked. He is the measure of all things. So his seven lamps thereon, the seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. And now he's introducing us to something else. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side of the bowl. So now we've got the lampstand, we got a bowl, we got seven pipes to the seven lampstands, and now we got two olive trees. And you're going, what in the world is going on here? It just gets better. It just gets better. It says later on, because I don't want to get too long here. Where is it here? Okay, go down to the last verse of, you know, throughout this whole little discourse. That's what I like about the scriptures, is men are having conversations. They're involved in this thing. So verse 13, he keeps asking, you know what, if you keep seeking, you keep finding. And I'm of the firm opinion that had not Zacharias stayed with the questions, he would have never gotten the answer. When God puts something in your heart, he puts it in your heart that you would so seek him to discover what that is. The beauty of the New Testament, seek and you'll find. You're not going to find the mysteries of God by sitting in a chair. You got to walk with him. You got to seek him. Knock and the door shall be opened. The door isn't going to open itself. You got to see that. That flame of God in you, that desire of God for you to be a specific expression of God, is going to take effort on your part to touch the reality of it. The talents, the pounds have been given. Past tense. God has already put in you ministrations of life. Past tense. They're given to you not because you're good. It says in Ephesians, when he arose, he gave gifts. The gifts are given because of his arising. They're not based on your righteousness, your capability, your good looks, whatever. He's given them because Christ has risen from the dead. And it's because of his resurrection that the talents, the pounds have been placed within your keeping, your responsibility. And men and women who don't take responsibility, their gifts never develop. We got a church full of undeveloped Christians, saved, children of God, but they're children. And you can read Hebrews 6. Those expressions are given, but never developed, because they won't be developed without your interaction with God himself. Anybody who thinks being a Christian is boring has no idea the depth and the wonder that's there if they would but step into it. So these two trees, olive trees, what does that speak of? Infinite supply. Olive represents anointing. So we go to Revelation 11. We're just going to touch on it. Revelation 11 speaks of multiple things. Oh, I wish we could get into it. Anyway, Revelation chapter 11 speaks of God measuring his church. Well, I'm saved. I'm forgiven. No, God measures. Let's go. We're going there for a second. You got to tie this all in. We're just giving a really brief overview of this, but you got to see this. And I'm not going to go into the depth of it because it's not translated properly in chapter 11, verse 1. But there was given to me a reed. Remember last week or the week before that, we touched the, it's a Hebrew word used there, calamus. It's mentioned in the Song of Solomon. It speaks of stature. Why does God give the fivefold ministry? To bring us unto the fullness of the stature of Christ himself. God has a measuring stick for every life in his house. Well, I'm forgiven. It's all over. God, no. Read this. And a reed was given like unto a rod, saying, rise up and measure the temple of God. God measures everything related to him. He's perfection. Measure the temple of God, the altar, and them that worship therein. You don't think God has a measuring reed for you? He gives the one man a talent. What's he expecting? Two talents. He's got a measure for that man. But the measure for that man is different than the measure for the one that received two talents. He still has a measure for him. You can't measure yourself by another. I used to do that and get depressed that I was nothing, never going to have anything. Yeah. And then one day you go, I'm only responsible for the deposit that God puts in me. But God is going to hold me accountable. And so another man, he gives five talents. So the measure of God for you is fully dependent on what he's given you. He doesn't hold a man accountable for what isn't his. But he will hold a man accountable for that which he has given him, even if the man doesn't know what he's got. Because the man was too lazy to discover what Christ had put in him. There is an accountability filled with the blessing of God and with the accountability of God. So the guy with the five talents is over there going, yeah, well, I got a whole lot more than the rest of these schleps. God expects more. What did Jesus say? To whom much is given, much is required. And it's incumbent upon each one of us to begin to discover who is Christ in me. What has he called me to? And so that sevenfold Spirit of God shining forth at the local assembly, what's it looking for? It says, oh, this man's got a teaching ministry. Why isn't he teaching? Why aren't you teaching? How's that? But you see that, you know, so Paul says to Timothy, he says, there was impartations given to you by the laying on of hands. The presbytery of the local church where Timothy grew up in Ephesus. They said there's a ministry there, and the laying on of hands calls that forth, calls that which has already been placed there. And what's Paul says to Timothy? Get with it. Get on with it. Well, brother, you got to take it easy here. No. Paul says, you've got a call. You've been given something. Get on with it. Stir up the gift. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy, stir up the gift. And in 2 Timothy, he says, fulfill the purpose that God has put in you. The problem we have today is the church has no comprehension whatsoever of being apprehended. We got a whole thousands of people sitting in the pews that have no comprehension that they've been called of God to something. Paul says that I may apprehend that for which I have been apprehended. God has apprehended you for something. Not to go around and just say, well, Jesus saved me, isn't that wonderful? He saved you for a specific purpose, and woe be unto you and me if we don't discover what that purpose is. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I am fully flat out to discover why God, in his sovereign will, saved me. The church isn't here to sell Jesus to the world. They're here to present him. I'm not here to talk someone into receiving Jesus. No man comes to the Father. No man comes to the Son, except the Father draw him. You are the product of the sovereign choice of God. But within that sovereign choice, he has placed within you gifts and callings of God that if you don't interact with them, what did Jesus say to the man with the one talent? Thou wicked and slothful servant. Whoa. He's saved and going to heaven. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about a slothful servant in God's house. And what does he do? He takes that. He takes what he has given and gives it to someone else who's been faithful. We got to consider. It says, another scripture says, run that you may obtain. Paul wrote that. We got to run to obtain the prize. You got to get on with your God. Okay. This lampstand and these two trees standing by the lampstand, you'll see them in the book of Revelation. Chapter 11, verse 3, and I'll give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 2,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. That tells you the attitude of their heart. They're not going around rejoicing in their power to bring fire, to bring judgment into the earth. They're weeping over the condition of God's creation and his church. Who are these guys? These are the two olive trees. And these two candlesticks, lampstands, standing before the God of all the earth. God is bringing us into the very sanctum of what's transpiring, what he's looking for in this day. You got to see your part in it. Truth is never going to have power until you see it as yours. You know, Psalm 23 says, well, Psalm 23 doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He is my shepherd. You got to see Jesus as your shepherd, not just some generic thing out there. He leads me. The whole Psalm 23 is a personal thing, one-on-one. And for these two trees, this ministration and... anyway, as you read this, you'll come across something very significant. These two are an expression of a corporate people, not two. I think David Wilkerson said he's met 10 or 15 of one of the two witnesses. It ain't wrapped up in two individuals. It's a corporate expression. Two is the number of corporate. It's the number of relationship. And it says later on that they get overcome, and we'll go over that when we're going to be getting to this down the road. But they were overcome, and it says their dead body, I'm going to tell you this in the Greek, their dead body, toma, singular, their corporate, singular. We are members of the body of Christ, one loaf, one body. Each one of us has a part to play in it, but it's a unity. It's a oneness. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one. So where it says in, everybody says, well, is there a Trinity or is God one? Trinity, God one, all that. It says and everybody uses this scripture to discount the threefold wonder of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. The Hebrew word for one is the same word used, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one. It's a unity, not a singular. So, this twofold witness, these two witnesses in the earth. That's for a ministry in the earth. That is what? They're constantly pouring out their lives, that the fire of God remains to burn within the local church. Their whole thing is they're not interested in having a church. They're interested in the shining forth of the body of Christ in the earth. They're freed from that whole denominational horror. They're here. Paul says to the church at Corinth, the church at Galatia, he says, I'm here to espouse you as a chaste virgin unto Christ. My whole purpose for being here is the church, not myself. I'm not here to be something in myself. I'm here that the lampstand at the local assembly is shining forth with the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of the knowledge of God, the spirit of, all the sevenfold shining forth of Christ in the local community. You're a part of that. And you have a responsibility to the body of Christ here. To each one of us. We're here to speak truth. We're here to encourage. We're here to help the flickering flames of God in another life to become who they're supposed to be. And so you end up with the shepherd and the prophet. Well, prophet tends to be a little harsh. Shepherd sometimes is a little tender. But in the expression, the combining of these two. So you take the red and the blue, you get the purple, which is the shining forth of Christ. Grace and truth coming together without any compromise. There's no compromise between the grace of God and the truth of God. The issue is here because we don't see. But he'll blend that into your heart and bring it forth. Anyway, I'll stop here. But that's, we're just kind of pulling back a little bit of the veil of the inner workings of the true church of Jesus Christ and your place in it. And it's a vital place. And God hasten his work in your heart and mind. Because that's what it's all about. He's raising up his church in this hour.